Good day, bastards and bastardettes. Calling all lovers of the vocal minority with Nick and Steve. Need to know news is just around the bend. On today's show, Donald Trump is not happy with his portrait on display in Denver. Elon Musk is suicidal over the Cybertruck's recall as Tesla stock continues to shit the bed. And a Trump supporter drives his SUV into a crowd of peaceful protesters, injuring zero people. I repeat, zero people. I mean, come on, you stupid Trump supporter. You can't even hurt someone hitting them with an SUV. You drove into a large crowd of people and didn't injure one single person, like president, like supporter. You guys are just ineffective and bad at everything. But I digress. It's all of this and more that the boys dig into on today's episode. Good on you for being part of the resistance. Good on you for educating yourself with need-to-know news. And good on you for helping this amazing podcast grow like a boner. Enjoy the show, you bastards. Take it away, gentlemen.
Take it away, we will. Quite an intro, dude. You know, lots of things are happening in the vocal minority with Nick and Steve here to talk about what you need to know.
Yeah, that was a lot of personal commentary from the news guy there setting it up. I question his unbiased status.
I don't think he is unbiased, dude. I think he's just full throat supporting us. So,
as long as it's full throat, that's for it.
Of course it is, dude. Welcome to the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, back at it again.
Yeah. Hey, we got a website, thevocalminority.net, and we have social medias. There's stuff there that you can interact with. You can watch it. You can comment on it. You can like it or love it.
Send it to your Trump-supporting family. Send it to your friends. I don't know. Just check it out. TikTok, the big one. Also Reddit. We're on YouTube, and that's doing well, thanks to you guys. We're also on Blue Sky. And then, of course, Threads and all the minor league players is what I'll call them.
Yeah. Why does Facebook need three social medias, by the way? Or I guess I should say, why does Meta? Because we got Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Is one not enough?
Yeah, I'm not sure, dude. And what do you think of Threads, just like personally speaking, as you scroll through for fun?
I don't find it fun. At first, it seemed like, similar to Blue Sky, all the good liberals went to Threads, but no one seems to interact on that thing. Like, I can't get any good traction going with us. Whereas Blue Sky, a bunch of liberals went there, we post up, people like, they comment, they share, like, there's actual interaction going on there. I don't know what's up with Threads, but I've mildly abandoned it.
It's interesting because I never comment on Threads when I'm watching them, and I do on TikTok, so that's interesting that you make that point. When I first started using Threads, I thought it looked really clunky, and the only reason I have been using it a little more as of late is because my For You page is all, I don't know if it's fucked up, but it seems to be, because 90% of the stuff I'm getting are people selling shit.
Interesting. You're talking about on Facebook or on Threads?
On TikTok. So I've been moving over to Threads because I'm just, infuriated with, like, I don't want to just watch commercials.
Well, you got to stop shopping on TikTok, apparently.
Maybe that's it. That could be it. Yeah.
Just start watching nothing but whatever it is you want to watch, because this is the problem. Somebody sends me some random video and I'm like, I can't click on that because I'll see nothing now but Dalai Lama videos or whatever the hell it is you sent me. My mom tried to send me pimple pock stuff and I'm like, nope. Although I'm intrigued, but no, because I'll see nothing but that.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. It could be, sometimes I, as we've talked about on the show before, like, I'm a gadget guy. And so when people sell weird shit, like, I am intrigued. I watch it. So maybe that's why I'm getting them all,
Well, and Alexa apparently just updated its privacy settings for some of the devices where now you cannot opt out of them not listening to you. So
yeah,
maybe they just know you're a gadget guy because they're constantly tuning into the Nick and Rachel show at your house.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, dude, it's bad marketing because I am fed up and I'm just turning it off. Like, it's not going to make me buy more shit, so.
Well, they're going to send a robot to your house to force things on you. So possibly. Stay tuned.
Hey, check out our comment line and make a comment. 844-48-VOCAL. We're on the World Wide Web, thevocalminority.net. But most importantly, we're here with you together today.
Yeah. Hey, I've got the portrait thing on my story list, so we'll get to that. Yeah. But Musk threatening suicide. I guess I'm not totally surprised by that. He's got to be miserably depressed with what's going on at Tesla. And one of the board members is calling on him to resign from Tesla for good reason.
Yeah.
He's taking the entire company. So that's funny.
Yeah, stock, I mean, like our news guy said, it continues to shit the bed, and now this recall on every Cybertruck due to a piece that apparently I keep hearing people refer to it as, you know, we glued it on wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, you glued it on wrong? Why don't you use a screw, dude? I thought this was made in America. Steel.
Yeah. I don't get it. Yes, they used adhesive to attach a lot of those weird panel things, and they're starting to come off and can just fly off while you're going down a highway, hit a car, impale somebody, decapitate them, whatever. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. So Tesla stock is tanking. Mr. Musk has lost well over $100 billion in his own personal value, which is hilarious. But
oh, dude, I love it.
What is the Trump attack story? I missed that one. Someone tried to drive a truck over people and missed them all?
Yeah, it was a peaceful protest of a Tesla store down. I think this one was in Florida. There was a couple of them that got violent from Trump supporters. But this guy drove his SUV into a crowd of people. Wow. And, you know, it didn't hurt anyone, ironically enough. It almost skimmed an old couple, but like people were able to get out of the way. Like, you can't even run into a crowd the right way. Like, that's easy shit.
This sounds like some old person in Florida driving 2 miles an hour, like, you know, trying to run over somebody with a Zamboni, like giving them plenty of time to get out of the way.
Maybe so, dude. But it just continues to point to, you know, like we're free speech. We're big on free speech unless it goes against what we want to hear, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I actually have a story today about their continued constitutional hypocrisy, that they love the parts they love and seem to just want to ignore all the rest.
Well, good. We should probably get to it then. We do a little segment called Need to Know News. This is news you need to know. I'll duplicate that now.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Get it all out, dude. Get it all out.
Oh, are we on?
Yep, we're still going. We are on the air.
All right, let's discuss some news. My wonderful girlfriend, Miss Kennedy, pointed something out to me this weekend. I think maybe she read part of this article that I've got here. Maybe this was circulating somewhere, but I don't know. I've come to realize we are all looking at this Trump taking over Canada thing completely wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, let us have it.
We want Trump to take over Canada. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I have on one level. You know, we kind of discussed some things last week about Canada being a pretty liberal country, right? But I don't know that I want him to take it over.
Well, it would be the gift that gives back and a gift that blows up in his face, which would be hilarious. So Fox News White House correspondent Peter Ducey. Did I pronounce his name incorrectly?
No, you got it right.
Oh, good. Peter Ducey asked the president if he was, quote, concerned that if Canada did become the 51st state, wouldn't it be a very, very blue state, like very big and very blue?
Right.
And it would be. Trump has made no secret about the fact that he wants to turn America's northern neighbor into the 51st state. But some Republicans have started to do the math and have realized that might be a big mistake, because Canada would add millions of Democratic-leaning voters to the mix, as well as 50 more House seats and two additional senators. Mark Amaday, Republican from my current state of Nevada, said, quote, "I don't think anybody thinks that would be a great idea. Oh, by the way, how many electoral college votes are they going to get?"
Mm.
So you got to think about that. If we actually brought Canada in,
Like
we could vote blue permanently forever. Canada could be the people that would rescue us right now.
Yes. But let's keep this in mind. Like, obviously, I don't want this United States to take over another country. Like, there's something wrong with that.
Yes.
But on the other side of it, you're assuming there's going to be another election.
Yeah, I know. People keep telling me there's not going to be. But if we brought in Canada, then maybe we'd have enough votes to sustain that. Like, I don't know. Listen, you're talking anarchy apocalyptic scenario where we just don't get to have elections anymore. And I have to assume that can't possibly come to be. Like, the Supreme Court's not going to stop that. Like, I can't operate from that basis of reality.
There's a little girl named Anne Frank that said the same thing. And she got a very, very small apartment after that.
Yeah, that's all fair and good. I get it. But let's just assume democracy's not completely over. If Trump did take over Canada, or if those guys want to throw us a bone and just vote to join us, like, we could assure a blue democracy for forever and ever and ever with that many Democrats coming into the mix.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, you know, it's, I would love to have their universal health care. I would love to see the shapings of that America. Right. I can't think that any of this could be reality. I mean, first of all, they don't want to be part of the U.S. I mean, they're laughing it off, and some are taking it very seriously, but I mean, they have no desire. Maybe 30 years ago, could have said, you guys want to come and join us? You know, in the Obama years, they would have been like, yeah, let's team up. But I don't think they have any desire to get into this dumpster fire.
But how can you wrap your head around one crazy scenario where we don't have elections anymore and not another one where Canada decides to become the 51st, or we do take them over and Trump just doesn't realize what he's unleashed? Like, can't we have both crazy scenarios?
Sure. I suppose anything is possible, right? Shit surprises me every day, so I'm not the predictor of this radio program.
Yeah, well, Trump ignored the issues that Peter Ducey was bringing up. He instead referred to the U.S.-Canada border as an artificial line, which I've heard him say a few times now about borders. Isn't every border technically an artificial, arbitrary line that we drew at some point based on some things? But I think every border is, it's not like there's an actual wall there. Is that what he thinks? Like, yeah, it's a line on a map. You're right.
There's no moat there. You know, like they must have just put a line. And he even he continues to say, someone just took a ruler, just drew straight across. It would be the most gorgeous landmass. I would love to look up his porn search, you know, because I think he just beats off the land. You know, like, it is so weird how he keeps saying, like, it'd be the most beautiful landmass ever.
It is weird. And yes, every border was drawn at some point, and almost none of them are perfectly straight, including the U.S.-Canadian border. But whatever, man. It's a border. It's real. It's established. It's respected. And, you know, Canada is not willingly going to join. I don't think we're going to economically beat them into coming here, nor do I think we're going to go invade them. But yeah, I wonder if Trump's going to start to back off on this now that some Republicans are doing the math of like, dude, we don't want millions of liberals joining this country. That'd be hilarious.
Completely. I love the idea of it all. And I don't think, like many of his plans, that he thought it out. You know, like, you didn't think about that. Canada, we've known for years that Canada is more liberal than we are. They're, you know, we would ruin them. Like you've said in the past, it would be like taking over a huge California.
Right. And by the way, I'm still all in favor of the West Coast. I don't know what we have to do. Do we vote to annex ourselves from this country and join Canada? But geographically, I mean, it's just, it would be like a little tip off of Canada. The whole West Coast, Washington, Oregon, California, let's join up.
It, you know what, dude? It would be so great. And I'm not saying, like, I'm proud of this country, you know, on one level, yeah, right? On one level, yes. I'm proud of this country and the fact that, like, I know what my grandfather and grandmother did to make this country what it is today. So, like, I have a lot of respect for that. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind breaking off that little section, and then you can have all this land to just beat the fuck up and do whatever you want, and we'll be safe over here, and having universal health care that you all think is so bad, but yeah, you have no idea. It's all propaganda. Yeah, I'm all for it, dude.
It's another one of those careful what you wish for, fuck around and find out scenarios, because conservatives are always telling us liberals, like, fine, just leave the country then. Like, all right, maybe we will. We'll take California and Oregon and Washington State with us, along with the massive economies that those three states make up, as well as the tech industry, the entertainment industry, the movie industry, miles and miles of beautiful beaches. Like, yeah, we'll take our we will take our toys and go to our new home, O Canada.
Also, we'll be taking, you know, I don't know, maybe roughly, this is a rough estimate, 92% of the beautiful people.
Right.
You know, so.
And then maybe we could all team up with our new military power behind us with Canada. Maybe we can invade, you know, Texas and Oklahoma and stuff. Maybe we just start a new little intercontinental war going on here for
North America. Maybe so. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm all for it, dude. We'll see what happens here because, yeah, like you said, I don't think he thought about this one. So it could bite him in the ass.
I don't think so. And I think, watch now, I think you're going to hear less and less and less about trying to take over Canada now that somebody's actually put a little thought into it. And I got to tell you, I'm a little embarrassed. I never did the math myself. But yeah, you're right. Some of these Republicans, you would be losing all sorts of ground. We'd be gaining seats, electoral college. Like, it'd be pretty freaking funny. So
yeah,
we'll see. I'm not holding my hopes out in either direction. I don't think he's taking over Canada, Greenland, the Panama Canal, or anything. But
yeah, yeah, that's a possibility. We love Tim Hortons. That's all we're going
to
say.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Hey, dude, have you heard anything about the Netflix program Adolescence?
No. That term blocked for my search option.
Why?
Court order.
Let me tell you, dude, that I can't believe that you haven't heard about it. Only because we watched, Rachel and I watched it on, I think, the day or the day after it came out. And as soon as we watched it, it's all I see everywhere I go, whether it's on late night talk shows. I mean, people are just talking about Adolescence.
Yeah.
So since you haven't seen it, let me just tell you briefly what it's about. Okay. This is a series that is, I don't know, I think it's four or five episodes, and then it's done. So it's kind of like a long movie, but they're put into four or five episodes. Yeah. This movie starts out with police. I think this is in London. Police break down a door, barge in and a family's house, go upstairs, and they've got a warrant for their son's arrest. Their son's like 12 years old, and they drag him out, cuff him up, and take him off. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So they find out that the police are accusing their son of stabbing a girl, apparently they have the evidence, and they're arresting him because he murdered another schoolgirl. Okay. So the whole movie is kind of about the struggle of, like, what the fuck is going on? But the reason why this is so good is not only is it the writers are amazing. The dialogue, the story is so well done.
Wait, is this based on a real story or is this fiction?
I'll get to that. Okay. But this is all these episodes are shot in one take.
Oh.
And the camera is one camera. So it's not back and forth side shots. It's filmed. When it first started, it took me like 10 minutes and I was like, are they doing this all with one camera? Because your brain starts to tell that the shots are different. And it's done magnificently. I think this is going to win a lot of awards. It's getting a lot of talk and stuff like that. I definitely would recommend people go watch it. And
I take it that's not off-putting. There was some movie a few years ago that was shot all in one take. Like in a first-person perspective, I found it nauseating, and you realize what the advantage of cutting angles and like, but it's visually appealing.
Yes, and I will tell you that I would think if somebody told me about this, I may agree with what you're saying because I've seen some of that stuff and it hasn't really worked.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They just knew what they were doing. I'll tell you what, that like one, like I said, I wish I knew. It's four or five episodes. One episode is of this kid in a room talking to a psychologist. It's the whole episode. And the camera never breaks. It's one camera, and they never break. They did it in one take. Every episode was done in one take. So not only do they have to be amazing at their craft, you know, but yeah, just the camera never leaves. One episode, probably 80% of it, maybe 75% of it, is them driving in a car somewhere, and the camera is like in front of the windshield, and you would think like this is going to be boring, like the brain needs more, but the dialogue is done so well, the story is so well written, that it's not. I mean, I really do recommend it. I think I'm going to watch it for a second time.
First of all, the laugh I just did was on behalf of every live theater performer saying, oh, they have to do it in one take. Huh?
Like, you know what, dude? When I was reading about it after I watched it, I thought about your firstborn, Neo, yeah. That like this is something that play people that, you know, do plays and musicals and stuff like that, that they're really going to respect because it's so well done. And it's got to follow camera work. It's just really cool.
Yeah. So this has to be a scripted drama then, if there's a camera in front of a car and stuff like that. But
oh, it's scripted, yes. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, this is written. So let me get into why I'm talking. I'm talking about it because it's cool, and I want to recommend it to people who haven't heard about it to see it. But Elon Musk came out. I should have called him Leon. But Elon Musk came out, and he has now been criticized for sharing concerning and reckless misinformation about adolescents.
What else is new?
Dude, you talk about a guy that just gets involved in shit. I mean, aren't you busy? Aren't you trying to save government fraud, waste, and abuse? Like, what are you doing talking about a movie?
And run a few companies at the same time, allegedly, none of which he can. When you divide yourself up amongst so many things, you cannot do any one of them well.
Isn't that so true? So, yeah, as Tesla stock continues to fall, Elon Musk is commenting on the X platform, which is full on propaganda at this point in time, about the adolescents. So this is what the deal is. Elon Musk facing criticism now after perpetuating information about the Netflix series Adolescence. The Tesla founder recently reacted to a post on a social media site, X, which he owns, falsely claiming that Adolescence was about a British knife killer who stabbed a girl to death on a bus and was inspired by real-life cases such as the Southport murder. In fact, Adolescence was already in production when the mass stabbings took place in Southport last year. So he's wrong. Three children were killed and more than 10 were injured at a Taylor Swift-themed dance class, and that's what he thought it was all about. I mean, that's pretty benign, but why talk about it if you don't know? The original post shared on X last week claimed that the Adolescence team had race swapped the actual killer in order to make him a white boy who was radicalized online by the Red Pill movement, branding the show anti-white propaganda. So the little kid in this is white. And he said, like, this is based on this story. That was a black kid. They're making him white because everyone's against the whites.
Shouldn't he be happy that a white kid got cast as the lead?
Right, yeah. That's some DEI shit right there, right?
Right. Interesting. And so, yeah, I laugh when you say, like, what is he doing commenting on things he doesn't have any knowledge on? Like, yeah. I think that's his main purpose in life right now.
Yeah. You know, I just brought this story up only to talk about adolescence, but to also just, yeah, really highlight the fact that, yeah, Leon is talking about shit that he shouldn't be, obviously, and we see that, like you just kind of hinted towards, in politics, whatever he's talking about. But this guy really has a problem with race, and it's so strange to me, him being South African, coming from apartheid, that he wants to speak up against all this stuff that happens, the Jews, the whites, white power, this type of stuff. Like, where do you think it comes from, dude?
I think he's projecting. I think he's got major racist tendencies on the surface. So he's, I don't know, trying to find anything racially, you know, driven that he can comment on and put a spotlight on. And it's the old, like, why is there no white pride ones?
You know? Right. Yeah. No, it's just really sick. And I was having a conversation with my brother. I'm like, we've had it many times, but if I'm the richest man in the world, first of all, he has the power himself to take care of humanity, yeah. Right? He can end hunger in our country, at least. Mm-hmm. He can get everybody in this country above the poverty line with way less than his whole wealth. I mean, if he really gave a shit about this country, he could do it.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head right there. He does not really give a shit about the country. Hmm. He wants the attention. He wants attention so badly because he grew up as a nerdy kid that no one ever thought was cool. Women were never into him. And, you know, then he got money, but he didn't have enough attention. So what did he do? He bought the biggest platform on the planet to try to get attention out of. And once he bought it, I mean, the guy tweets nonstop. Even before this whole Doge government takeover thing, I wondered, how does he have time to run companies and do anything? The guy is tweeting on and off throughout the entire freaking day at nauseam. Yeah. So, yeah, he just wants attention. That's what all of this is about. And if he really wanted to do good in this world, he of course could, but he's not.
Yeah, I read that as fact and fact checked it, that with it was not even half of his money would end food insecurity, at least in this country, and get everybody in our country above the poverty line. Like, he could actually do that with less than half of his money. So I think to myself, Republicans, MAGA crowd, you really want to stand on that mountain and say he gives a shit about this country? Because it wouldn't affect him at all to take care of it like that.
Right. The irony, too, is that if he did something like that, I'd go buy a freaking Tesla. I would do anything I could to support a man whose company is doing something so noble and awesome. Like, he may give away $100 billion, but his stock, his worth, his ass, everything would go up. It would probably offset itself.
Completely right, dude. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, and why not even try? Because he doesn't care. So if you need any more proof, well, then you're just stupid, right? I mean, that's the truth right there.
Yes, it is.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Clem. I can hear you.
Perfect.
Clem. That sounds like some sort of STD. I got fooled around this weekend. I got a bad case of Clem. Clem Fandango. That's the contagious type.
Oh, is it Fandango? Oh,
yes,
no.
It's the full Fandango. But I digress. All right. Let's get into the story you teased earlier about Trump and his portrait. You know, you might be a narcissist if you spend your time as the leader of the free world obsessing about a portrait hanging in some random state. So, yeah, Trump is demanding the removal of his portrait in the Colorado Capitol, claiming it was distorted. This is what this man, on another late-night social media rant, as he's supposed to be worrying about everything other than what his portrait in Colorado looks like.
Have the war in Ukraine one day.
Right, yes. President demanding that his portrait in the Colorado State Capitol be taken down. It was purposefully distorted. The Trump portrait was painted during Trump's first term and unveiled in 2019. Colorado Republicans raised the money, more than 10 grand, through a GoFundMe, bilking their constituents. The guys couldn't even pony it up themselves. To have Sarah Boardman paint this portrait. She had done Obama's. One Trump supporter at the time said that the portrait, quote, does him great justice. But in a Sunday night post on Truth Social, Trump said he would prefer no picture at all over the one that hangs in the Colorado Capitol. Nobody likes a bad picture or painting of themselves. But the one in Colorado in the state capitol put up by the governor, along with all the other presidents, was purposely distorted to a level that even I, perhaps, have never seen before.
What does that even mean, dude?
Right? He's an expert on, well, maybe that's true. He's an expert on distorting things, so maybe that is the fact. But I got to say, have you actually seen a picture of the portrait?
Not until he brought it up, but now I did. Yeah, I saw the picture.
I don't find anything bizarre or unflattering about it. And by the way, he has normal skin tone. He's not orange in this portrait. So I don't have any idea what he is talking about. I mean, it's a portrait, not a picture. So obviously there's going to be some level of inaccuracy, but the portrait looks fine.
Think about it this way, okay? Most of the pictures that he loves are these AI shots of him as Rambo and big muscles and stuff like that. Like, yeah, she got you. I mean, she got what you look like and you don't like it. I mean, you know, I think that he's just getting off on all these AI shots and other artist renderings that make him look like Superman, you know, and now that he sees one that actually looks like him, he's like, ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting theory, because you're right. All of his NFT coins and all these weird T-shirts, it's all him AI Ramboed out. And yeah, I mean, this is an accurate portrait besides the orange. I could see if I was painting a portrait of Trump, I think I would have to ethically make it some level of orange, because that's what he chooses to make himself. But
sure,
it's a normal portrait. I don't see the issue at all. And why, from something that was hung 6 years ago, all of a sudden now as he's taking over a new administration, this is what he's obsessing on.
So, dude, I saw, you noticed in your article, he talks about, you know, the artist did a photo or a painting of Obama, too, right? So when I'm watching this story, I saw both of the paintings, and Obama's is of a very good looking man. It looks just like him, dude.
He's a good looking man, yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference, dude. Obama's a great looking guy, and you're not. Sorry, you look like trash, but I mean, you stuff yourself into those oversized suits and have that long tie. You do it to yourself. You could look somewhat human. I'm not saying you can act somewhat human, but you could look somewhat human if you wanted to.
Yeah, I've actually seen AI-generated pictures of Trump that if he didn't spray tan and if he didn't have this weird hair, if he was just a balding, you know, guy his age, and I gotta say, he looks fine. He looks like a normal adult male. Like, I don't know why he is such a vanity-loving narcissist, and why no one in the mega world can even zoom out far enough to go, like, all right, this is not something he should be talking about. But no, they probably are all protesting outside the Colorado State Capitol now.
Completely. I think that this dates back to, we were talking about a movie that came out about Trump, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. It was called The Apprentice. Yeah. You were going over, because this movie was based off true facts, okay? And one of the scenes in that movie was Ivanka Trump telling him, like, you're ugly, you've gotten fat and everything like that. After that, in real life, he beat her and he raped her. And I think that that's stuck with him, because that's when he did his first round of liposuction. That's when he did his hair scalp thing. Yep. So he is vain, dude, and I think he's very insecure about what he looks like. But do you really actually know what you look like? Talk about body dysmorphia, dude.
Yeah. No, he is a clinical narcissist, and I don't think he does have an accurate picture of himself. And he sees, yeah, like you said, all these AI pictures. And I think in his mind's eye, that's what he looks like and wants to be represented that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand anyone defending this as anything but just blatant narcissism and a waste of your goddamn time and energy. Focus, eye on the prize, and it ain't a portrait of you as the president hanging in one of our state capitals. You're the president, buddy. Just let it go. You're fine. You're being honored. Isn't that enough?
You're the most powerful person in the world, maybe, right? So, and also think about this. I am. So are you. We have parents that are aging and that, you know, they're getting Social Security, stuff like that. With all the problems that are happening in our country that need tending to, the fact that you give this 1 ounce of your time should be a slap in the face to everybody.
Yes. I would be epically embarrassed if Obama, in his first couple of months of his term, where the country was in economic free fall and we had all these issues, and he's obsessing about a portrait of himself somewhere. Even if it was a portrait of him in a tan suit, I don't think it's worthy of your time.
Shut your mouth, dude. Never.
And does he not realize it just puts more focus on it? Who the hell knew about this portrait before? I hadn't seen a picture of it. Now it's all over the internet, and I assure you we will be using it in the clip we will be posting of this topic right now.
Right? Yes, you're so right, dude. We would have never seen it.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Where I want to go here, dude. I did pull a couple of stories today that were, well, I guess at their core, they're not political, but...
isn't everything, though?
Yeah, I suppose so. We've been talking about insurance on this podcast. You know, over the last year, insurance is becoming a big thing with wildfires and natural disasters and stuff like that. People are having a hard time not only getting insurance, but even if they're paying their premiums, they're having a hard time getting their claims met, right?
Yeah. If you can afford your insurance, if it's even offered for whatever it is you need it for, are you then getting screwed by the companies? Every kind of insurance in this country just ultimately sucks.
Dude, when you bought your last house and it had to get fire insurance on it, how much was that a month? Something outrageous.
I may be misquoting here, but $700-$800 per month. And it wasn't even through an actual insurance company because no company would offer it. It was through this California state program where they, out of desperation, are starting to offer insurance for fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's happening. I thought it was even more than that. I thought it was closer to $1,000 a month, which, I mean, a lot of people are paying crazy premiums, and I don't know, friends all around me, I mean, we're at the age now where we talk about things like health problems and insurance prices, right? Right, yeah. So this is a great story out of Florida. Not very often that something good happens in Florida, so I'll share it with you. This story brought out this really shocking story revealing Florida insurers were shifting millions of dollars to their executive shareholders, and they were shifting a ton of their money to out-of-state operations, all while claiming they were losing money.
Oh, nice.
And this is happening, it turns out, in a lot of places. Okay. The nation's largest watchdog organization for insurance policyholders is asking, how could Florida's insurance regulators allow this to happen? Here's an example of one guy. This guy's name is Byron Simpson. He's in South Tampa. He said, we were away watching on our Ring doorbell camera. We see water start coming up the road, into the driveway, onto the porch, and into our house. We saw fish swimming around on our porch. When Simpson returned to his West Shore home following Hurricane Helene, a foot of water had flooded his home. Simpson quickly contacted his insurer and filed a claim. Then the waiting game began. He got an initial small payment, he said. It was only enough to get the drywall started and the door repaired. All the rest of it to make his home what it was before this flood never showed up. And I mean, that's been years now, right? He's still been fighting with insurance companies. This guy says he has been a policy owner with this insurance company over 15 years. He's never missed a payment and they've gone up. And so there's no reason why this is happening other than there's theft and fraud happening within our insurance companies.
And this is why Luigi Mangione has become a cult hero in this country.
You're so right, dude. I mean, like I said, this has been years now that this guy's been waiting. Let me say this, that an internal analysis by Florida's Office of Insurance Regulations became public just a week ago, found the top insurance companies have been ripping off all Floridians. The report reveals that from 2017 through 19, after Hurricane Irma, Michael, Florida insurance paid $680 million to shareholders and transferred billions in profits to affiliate companies, all while claiming they were broke and not paying claims.
Wow. Yeah, this is why people love insurance. It's ultimately a scam in so many ways. You pay into it. And then when you need it, they either underpay, deny altogether, or even if they do come through, you're then paying more because you were the victim of some accident or natural disaster. It is such a racket.
That is a perfect word for it, dude. And I feel like, you know, as I get older, I've been using the word racket a lot. You know, like, that's a racket, damn it. But it is so true, dude. So after last October, after an investigative reporter revealed some Florida policyholders may have been denied payouts on legitimate claims after Hurricane Ian, all the investigations went into it from the insurance commission, and they found the insurance companies to be guilty. 2 years later, there have been no fines, no arrests, and no explanation as to why.
Wow.
So, yeah, we are. We're looking at, you know, they're calling on Ron DeSantis now. Like, it's not the guy I want to have to call on to fix anything, but they're like, come on, look into this. Well, this article got me thinking, dude, that this doesn't really stop here, okay? Because now that we're in all these trade wars, we're going to see this insurance industry continue to fail. Not on their terms, but all this material. I've been reading stories about builders across our country, home builders, commercial builders. They can't bid a job right now. They just can't because they don't know what the prices are going to be. Yeah. They have no clue. So I know companies like who my sister works for. I said, what are you guys doing? Are you guys having issues yet? She was like, we are filling up every warehouse we have with inventory. Right. So we have some sort of, you know, idea of what our cost is and what our bottom line is.
I saw a story in the news this morning about the fact that most of the big car companies have doubled, tripled, quadrupled, whatever they can, their imports of cars into America, because they want to get them on our soil before April 1st when these tariffs go into effect. Because they're saying the average price of a car may go up $10,000, $12,000. And as somebody who's got 90,000 miles on my car and was going to get a new car this year, like, that is not good news. That is not affordable. So my $30,000 Toyota is now going to cost $40,000, like,
or more. Yeah. I mean, that's just nuts, dude. And you're talking about, oh, we're already in a bad economy and everything else. Like, this is going to kill us, dude. I mean, this is, if he continues, I don't know if he's going to continue or not. Yeah, or if he's just throwing a weight around at this point, but it'll murder this country economically.
Yes, Kennedy and I were discussing that this weekend, that when will the country turn on Trump? Because I don't think it's a question of if, it's going to be when. And we're too early into the game. His cult is still brainwashed. So, but what do you think? I mean, 6 months, 2 years, at some point, these realities will crush enough people that we're going to have to turn on him.
Yeah, you know what? With all this, with all of his support and people blindly supporting him as a cult, I say it will happen, but I don't think it'll happen until we're 3 years in and people are really homeless, feeling the pain of not having a job, not eat. I mean, it could get bad.
I think we have a decent chance by the midterms to have a bit of a blue wave, because I think there'll be enough of it visible by then.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, the real mega types, or even the pseudo mega adjacents, like, you know, your brother or something, like, there's gonna be a breaking point here. Because right now, like I said, we're still in the fuck around stage. We're not in the find out stage. I think enough people are believing this garbage of, well, we're going to shake the snow globe up for a while and it'll all settle and we'll all be happy. But that can only last for so long. And when truly the people that voted on the price of eggs, when that reality of the price of cars and home building and the tariffs, and stock market down, your 401k down, like, this, the Teflon Don cannot possibly put up, sustain that forever, his invulnerability.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And maybe by midterms. I mean, that's a good point, because the race was so close that maybe that would be enough to really make some changes, you know. So let's, I don't know if you're religious or not, but put your hands together and say a little prayer, for crying out loud, because we could use it right now.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
All right. We continue all of this transgender hatred in this country. And I don't even know why drag show performers got dragged into this, you know, so much. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But, yeah, boy, drag shows, which I don't know the last time there was a drag show in my community. I mean, up in Tahoe, one of the casinos for a month or two did a drag show breakfast thing that was well reviewed. But I don't see this onslaught of drag shows going on that I keep hearing about, you know?
Yes, of course you don't, dude. I mean, I live in a big city in Seattle. There's likely to be, at least be a subsection of the city that, you know, has a large gay and transgender and drag population. And I'm sure they happen up there, drag shows, but I haven't seen any drag readings to children in libraries for 10 years, dude.
Certainly nothing that is being forced upon us.
No.
And as I'm now saying all this out loud, I actually do, New Year's Eve, I actually did go to a drag show. I was in Michigan at the time, which is now technically a red state. But no one forced it upon me. I was not blindfolded, handcuffed, and forced into this drag show. And that seems to be the inference, that we're just being forced into this lifestyle. And the kids are seeing it and everything else. And so that made me think about this when I read this article today about a federal judge saying the Texas A&M cannot ban drag shows. A federal judge has stopped Texas A&M's board from banning drag shows based on, in part, this Trump-related paranoia that's going on around here. But here's the thing that I think is funny. Lee H. Rosenthal, who was appointed as a federal judge by George H.W. Bush, so this is an older guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrote a memorandum and opinion today on recording day that any student who would find the Draggyland performance offensive has a simple remedy. don't go to it.
Is it that simple?
Right. This is a conservative judge who's like, yeah, just don't go to it if you're offended. He said the quote, the board and some members of the A&M community are offended by the Draguland performance, he wrote, to ban the performance from taking place on campus because it offends some members of the campus community is precisely what the First Amendment prohibits. Which gets back to, you know, yes, the MAGA types are such fans of the Constitution, and they're so against cancel culture, right?
Completely, yeah.
Except for when it offends them.
You remember Target, dude. You remember Target went through the whole thing of, you know, they have rainbows and pride flags in Target, and yes. And MAGA went crazy, like, I won't shop there. Well, now Target has stepped up, and they have gotten rid of their DEI. Their stock is plummeting, dude. Their stock is plummeting. So it can work both ways, guys.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what does happen this year with some of these pride things, because I assume a lot of them will still stay under the radar because Target or whoever, and all of these cancellation of DEI programs. Like, they're just bowing to the paranoid will of the MAGA types, but... will it actually backfire? Will there be sustained economic damage?
Costco stood up, dude. Costco says, no, we're not removing our DEI, and their stock's doing better than ever, dude, because, you know, I will support a company that says, yeah, I'm not going to bend my morals of how I want to run my private company.
I keep finding a lack of self-awareness when somebody like our Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's basically legally blonde. I mean, she's a
yes.
semi-good-looking, you know, white blonde-haired lawyer, or the press secretary, Leavitt. I still haven't figured out how to pronounce her name. But did none of them realize that they are technically DEI hires? Because women are part of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, really? Why? Because they have a smaller brain?
Yes, they're a minority brain holder in this country. So.
It's science, dude.
Right. No, anyone who's basically not a white guy, you're part of companies that want to have a diverse workforce, which includes women. So, yeah, they're sitting up there at the pulpits of the attorney general or the press secretary admonishing DEI while not realizing that not only literally would you be a DEI hire being a woman, but the fact that you're a semi-good-looking woman, which is the only reason Trump hired you in the first place, would literally meet the standards of what DEI would be, trying to diversify things or basing it solely on your ethnicity or your gender or your appearance.
Every person I've talked to that's been against DEI has no idea what DEI is. You know, this is, you know, unqualified people getting jobs. Like, no, dude, DEI is just making sure everyone has a spot at the table. Then we'll look at your skills and we'll hire people.
Yeah, I am so sick of that assertion that it's unqualified people. No, the whole point is, all right, we have a pool of qualified applicants. You've all met the minimum standard. Now we can look at diversity because that makes for generally a stronger company or whatever it is. So.
Sure.
But I do love this conservative judge who simply said, if you're offended by it, then don't go. We have a constitution and it protects this stuff.
It really is that simple. And I mean, you know what? That's what conservatives have been saying for years. I don't know why you forgot. I hear all the time, like, I don't care if you're, you know, you want to have sex with a turtle, a man, or a woman. Like, just keep it in your bedroom. It's none of my business. Like, that's what's happening here. What's the problem? You know what? How about this? I don't want to go to a gun range. I don't want to go to a gun show. So I don't go.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're against gay marriage? Don't get gay married.
Right. It's just real simple, dude.
I keep hearing about how all of this stuff is forced down our throats. They're forcing this gay and transgender lifestyle and all this. And I got to tell you, when I watch MSNBC or CNN or the NBC Nightly News, I don't see it except when it's being discriminated against. But Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, like, they are the ones forcing it down their listeners and viewers' throats for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm on that Nextdoor app, and there's always frickin' drama on Nextdoor, dude. We just had... we had a stupid vote. I think this whole thing is stupid about trying to get rid of natural gas. And Washington is trying to get rid of natural gas. Or you could be grandfathered in, but we're not going to produce anymore, blah, blah, blah. So this whole conversation is going on. And there's this guy that comes on and he's like, You're allowed to identify as a puppy dog, but you can't cook with gas. What's wrong with this world? And I'm like, that's not happening, dude.
Right.
And if it is, like, it's two people.
No. And I hope you guys don't ban natural gas up there. I'm a big supplier of it.
Right. You wouldn't be welcome in our state, Steve.
No.
Yeah, that's the truth, dude.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Enough said.
I think that is enough said. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's get into a serious story. One that will bring a little information about Elon Musk and the damage he could still be doing to our country. This year's first major political test in Wisconsin becomes a referendum on Elon Musk. The election to fill a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat has become a referendum, not only on the new administration, but on Elon Musk. The billionaire, who has become one of President Donald Trump's top financial backers and the architect of his efforts to slash the federal workforce. April 1st, this election will happen. The first major test in American politics since Trump secured a second term. It'll serve as a crucial barometer of enthusiasm in both parties heading into next year's midterm elections and is happening in a critical battleground state that Trump won by less than a percentage point.
Yeah.
It's also a test for Musk himself. The Tesla CEO, political operation, spent more than $200 million to help Trump win in November. He's canvassing currently and advertising in Wisconsin on behalf of the conservative candidate. A win would cement his status as a conservative kingmaker, while a loss could give a little license to Republicans distracting themselves from the efforts to stymie the government functions there in Wisconsin. This is what the quote is. This is the first major election held since Donald Trump took office. A political science professor at the University of Wisconsin said, I think notably Democrats are concentrating more on Elon Musk than Donald Trump, and for good reason. He's out there currently. I don't know if you remember this when he was campaigning for Trump, but he was sending out these fake mailers. They were Democrat mailers, but they were full of bad information. They look, you know, he was trying to trick people. And
misinformation from Musk? What?
This might not seem important, but it's actually really important. It could determine the fate of the country, he said. This election is going to affect everyone in the United States. April 1st, the election will determine majority control of a court facing critical issues, abortion rights, collective bargaining, and voter access. They include decisions that could have major implications for 2026 midterms and 2028 presidential election, particularly if they end up hearing challenges to the state's congressional maps, which would theoretically swing the balance of power in Washington if they were considerably redrawn, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's putting all his money behind this, and he's not the only one. I mean, Donald Trump Jr. showed up. They held a rally without Donald Trump, basically. And Elon Musk spoke, but Donald Trump was like, look, you know what? If you guys, I know we all love my dad, but if you guys really love my dad, like, this shit's important too. You got to pay attention to this. And Elon will tell you exactly what we need to pay attention to. Follow this man. He is the one that's going to take you and make things right and ensure that this lasts.
Yeah, well, he is the kingmaker, I guess. But a couple of things. One, I believe what you're saying as far as the seriousness of the makeup of that court and what that could mean for, you know, regional, you know, objections and things that go to the appeals court, et cetera, et cetera. Like we were talking about earlier, I don't know if we're far enough into the fuck around stage for people to have found out. Like, I don't know if this would be a true referendum on the temperature in this country. Because, you know, Wisconsin, he may have just barely won it, but they tend to be conservative there. So I don't know if enough time has gone by for them to have a backlash against anything Trump branded at that point. But I will say, I mean, we've been seeing in town halls all over the country, including deeply red parts of the country, where people are pissed off at these town halls and going off on their elected officials. And some national Republican committee is encouraging their members to not do in-person town halls, to only do them over the phone or the internet, to avoid all these, you know, the appearance that it's, you know, pissed off Republicans. But they are actual pissed off Republicans. And I find it hilarious that there's this conspiracy theory circulating that George Soros is hiring people to show up at these town halls and disrupt them, which is obviously garbage, but are we okay with billionaires tampering with our elections, or aren't we?
That's a great point, dude. I mean, yes, you're right. It is garbage because we don't play that way. I mean, does it happen? Sure. But the majority of the time, we don't play that way. And yeah, are we okay with it? I mean, can we throw money around or not? You always talk about the deep state and what George Soros does, but is Elon not a deep state, dude? Not
of
part
course.
Of... Come on.
Listen, if George Soros had an office next to Obama or Biden or something, everyone would be shitting their pants, just like Trump. And they, you know, they would, of course, not think it's okay. But it's just like comedy. Like, they want to cancel comedy when it makes fun of them, but when it's, you know, in their favor, they're all for it. And so, yeah, do we want oligarchs and billionaires putting their thumb on the scale or not? And George Soros is not doing it. Even if he wants to make donations to certain acts or PACs or whatever, like, Nick and I have never gotten a check from George Soros, and we would be at the top of the list of the liberal cabal trying to sway this country.
Think about this, dude. I mean, you know, you and I follow politics pretty damn closely and have for years, right? Yeah. We're very liberal. We're very Democratic. And how much have you given over the years to the Democrats financially?
Me personally?
As a whole, yes.
I mean, $50 maybe. I mean, I donated to Kamala. I think I donated to Obama way back in the day. But no, I don't give much money at all.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Is like, you know, this is not a time for supporting Trump with your money and supporting Musk. Normal people don't do that. Normal people don't do that. I mean, you know, maybe I've given in the last 10 years, maybe I've given a few hundred dollars, you know, and we're very politically involved. So, yeah, yes, exactly. It's crazy, dude. But Elon Musk is very dangerous. And what I will say is that Trump won that by less than 1%. So them spending that money is a great idea to get people on board with what they're doing, because if they redraw those lines by 2028 or 2026 midterms, it's going to be a whole different story. And that 1% could easily turn into 1 by 5%, 1 by 4, you know.
Listen, gerrymandering is a very real thing, and the Democrats have gotten their hands slapped once or twice for it as well, but way more so Republicans have gerrymandered districts to, yeah, essentially ensure whoever's in power there will stay in power.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, the more you let them do it, the more they will. So that's how we could still, you know, your fear about no more elections.
Yeah.
The actual more plausible scenario is we have elections. We've just gerrymandered the shit out of them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it is, again, projection, right? Of like, yeah, that was rigged. Yeah, well, you're rigging them. I see what you're doing here. It's, I mean, you don't have to have 20/20 vision to see that you're rigging elections this way, and that's not okay.
No, spot on. And if anybody does have the contact information for George Soros's liberal cabal, Nick and I would like to sign up for that program. So
sooner than later.
Yes.
Hey, dude, can I briefly go over my favorite clips from the week from sure. Trump stuff here?
We got a couple of minutes, so yeah, go for it.
All right. First of all, we always talk about or hear conservatives say, like, yeah, it's going to be Trump, then it's going to be Donald Jr. Trump, then it's going to be Eric. Like, this is going to happen for years. Well, now, what's that bitch's name on Fox News? The blonde. Why am I?
Laura Ingraham.
Yep. Laura Ingraham. She sat down with Trump, you know. You knew exactly who she was.
Right? Isn't that funny? That's all you had to say. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. So she sat down with Trump. She did a, you know, tour of the Oval Office. I'm sure you saw the Declaration of Independence unveiling behind the curtain. Did you see that?
No, I just saw him complaining about the Rose Garden being too wet. So we're going to pave it over.
So I'll just say quickly that he's now in the Oval Office. There's this little, I don't know, like 3x4 curtains. And he took her over to it, and he was like, I got the Declaration of Independence, the original, hung in my office. They said we had to keep these curtains on it so the light wouldn't affect it. And he pushed it back. She's like, wow. And it's obviously not the original. Like, it's in bold print and you can read it. So,
he's just looking for the treasure map on the back.
Right. He was like, you think Biden would have done that? You know, he doesn't even know what it is. So she does this whole thing and she's sitting down talking with him and starts to talk about Barron. And she asks Trump a great question. This just happened. So he's 19 years old. You ready?
Is Barron's aptitude, in your view, business or politics?
Maybe technology. He can look at a computer. I try turning off his car, turn it off. I turn off his laptop. I said, oh, good. And I go back 5 minutes later. He's got his laptop. I said, how'd you do that? None of your business, Dad.
My son understands the concept of a power button. He's a genius.
Dude, I saw this and I said to myself, that has to be from when he was like four, right, or something, you know? But no, it was just from last week. He turned it off. How'd you get that back on? Wow. Like, wow, that's how out of touch this man is.
Yes. If anyone ever wonders if Trump is an old man, that he is, things like the Tesla and this car's run on computer, and yet right, my son turned the computer off and then he managed to turn it back on. He's a genius.
So crazy, dude.
Technology, it's his thing.
He can really go places. He turned the laptop back on quick.
Wow.
And then we will go over with, I'll just give you one last one. This I thought was so great because, you know, we've been talking about for a while. Trump campaigned on the fact that, yeah, I'll release the Kennedy files. I'll release Epstein file. Well, maybe I'll release the Epstein file. I'm not sure. But he campaigned on that. You know, I'm going to get all these classified documents together. Well, earlier in the last week, I should say. Yeah, he released these bad boys. And here's somebody talking to him about it. This may be Peter Ducey.
80,000 pages of documents is a lot to sift through. Yeah. Can you just tell us who killed Kennedy?
Well, you know, I was given the task of releasing that because many presidents have gone through it and they haven't released. And I said, release. We even released Social Security numbers. I didn't want anything deleted. I don't think there's anything that's earth-shattering, but you'll have to make that determination.
Oh, thanks for getting him released. I don't think there's anything new in there that we didn't already know. Like, this is the stuff that he campaigns on and excites you with. We know for a fact if you release the Epstein files, that would be earth shattering.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. Hype it up and then be like, yeah, there's not anything in there, but I'm going to just go ahead and release them.
Which, I left Social Security numbers in there and nothing was redacted.
Which is not true, by the way. A lot of it was redacted still. And I saw an interview with some historian recently that he said that there's been 10 infamous documents that we've all been waiting for years to be released. 7 of the 10 were now released. But that means they weren't all released. And yeah, what is on the 3 that are being held back? And I've watched a lot of analysis of what has been put out. And I don't know. It seems that the CIA was spying more than we realized. And maybe that's what all these presidents didn't want us to realize. I mean, they were reading mail of people, you know, in this country to spy on them.
Without their knowledge or just intercepting it?
Oh, of course, without their knowledge. Yeah. I mean,
wow.
So the CIA was doing a lot more spying on our civilian population than we realized. And that was part of these files. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, there was no smoking gun in there. Other than Lee Harvey Oswald was well known by the Russians to be a terrible shot. So it really still is really weird that he pulled off this miraculous shot, that Jack Ruby was let into this garage to assassinate him up close and personal. And I think the best theory I heard this weekend from a historian was that it's not that the CIA probably officially assassinated Kennedy, but probably rogue members of our government, maybe in the CIA, did.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So not an official thing, but to claim that Oswald just pulled off this miraculous shot all by himself has always been garbage. So we have a little more data to back that up, but no, there's no major revelation in there.
Here's the thing with the Kennedy files. No matter what it says, who killed him, they're dead. I mean, nothing can be done. We'll just know. These Epstein files, people will go to, well, you would hope they would go to jail and, you know, maybe they'll be beat up and, you know, doxxed. I don't know.
Unless you're the king of our country, then you're not going to jail, even though your name, I am sure, is in the Epstein files. So.
Very true. All right. Well, yeah, that's what I got for you. And this has been another great podcast, dude.
They always are. Find our website, thevocalminority.net, and find us on the socials, YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky. We're on them.
Call that comment line. It's 844-48-VOCAL. Until next time.
This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. The boys give you two new podcasts each and every week. I, Donald J. Trump, will continue to give this show my full throat support. And if you don't want to be deported, you'll do the same. I'll be watching. Wow.